Paul's letter to Timothy is about the false teaching, false doctrine. But he's also telling Timothy, as he begins chapter 4, he says, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, clearly says that in the latter times, some will fall away. False doctrines, deceitful attentions, deceitful spirits, and demons will come. He's warning him to be on the lookout. As we look through, there are a couple of things that I would like to think about this evening. Because we, like a brother said, there are issues we face every day in our daily life. And what I like to talk about first thing is the discipline of godliness. In verse 8, two things are mentioned: bodily discipline. The second one is godly discipline. Godly discipline means, first of all, godliness word in itself means God-likeness. That's the English word deprived from. God-likeness. Bodily discipline is where we spend time, so much energy, so much money, just nourishing, looking after the body. We may join the gym, may have monthly, yearly subscription or membership, as they say it, but Paul writes that is only for a short time. It's only profitable for a short time. People go to the gyms, people do all sorts of things, watching their figure, as they say, watching what they eat, watching what they drink, and always looking after their body. Brothers, sisters, all of them. And if you see that the gyms are full of them, and during the pandemic, after they come out, all they say is, oh, we gained weight, we want the gyms open. So there's a lot of, you might say, outcry for bodily discipline. As for Christians, we too can have a bodily discipline, but it's only for a short time. People who spend so much money and time disciplining their body or looking after their body, they grow old. They become lazy. They become fathers, husbands, fathers. And slowly, the desire for looking after the body goes. And eventually they become old. So it's only for a short time. But godliness is profitable for all things. And since it holds a promise from the present life and also for the life to come. Christians, we are to discipline godliness in ourselves. And we can only do that if we walk close with God. And it's not only for this life, but it's also the life that is to come. And how we discipline ourselves into godliness. Verse 6 tells us the second part, or the middle part, he says, constantly nourishing on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. Constantly, all the time, nourished on the word of God, word of faith, and the sound doctrine from the word that we learn every week, every Wednesday as well. And only when we are doing what we should be doing as Christians, having our quiet time, reading our Bible, keeping ourselves close, walking with the Lord, And sometimes we hear people saying, oh, I'm too busy, I didn't have quiet time, we didn't have time to read the Bible, we didn't have time to pray, we're too busy. But we are not too busy to do the things of life itself. We run quickly to do something. We run out of milk, we want a cup of tea. We quickly run to get the bottle of milk. Don't we do that? So why is it so much hurry to get the things that we need for our lives? Okay, we do need it, but we may need to make preparations. But at the same token, when it comes to the things of God, it's always the second thing. Always the second thing. So if we put off God's things of God first, then we can discipline our godliness to be like Christ, to be like Him. And that is profitable for us in this life, so we can be a shining light to others, be a good testimony to others. And not only that, keeping close to Christ, we become like Christ. Reading His word, we become like Him. Reading and disciplining our body or our self, inward being, to be like Him. And that is what is godliness is. To discipline ourselves to grow in godliness, to be like Him. You know, in the past we have heard this, you probably know all about it. If you, the Bible can keep you away from sin, or the sin can keep you away from the Bible. And that is true. And becoming busy, we only look at Noah's life. How busy he was. It took him 120 years to build the boat or ark. He had his family. He had animals to look after. And yet, he also preached the gospel or God's word that there's a flood coming. And yet, the Bible says, just like his great grandfather Enoch, he walked with God. So, you know, being too busy for God is no excuse at all to become godliness. Then he goes on to say in verse 9, he says, this is a trustworthy statement which I'm saying, which should be deserving full acceptance. What's been said, he says here, what's been written here, it's trustworthy statement. You should accept it. Not just accept it, it deserves to be accepted. Full acceptance. And that's what we should be doing in our lives, to accept what the Bible tells us to do. Always accepting the statement that is in the Bible. It's a God's word, just like the letters from America or England to this island. This is God's word for you, for me, for us, to discipline our bodily godliness towards to becoming like Christ. And it's also a statement that deserves a full acceptance. Then he goes on to say in verse 10, for it is this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Paul is saying to Timothy, look, this is why we work hard. This is why we strive, carry on, moving forward, because we have fixed our eyes on a living hope. In the living hope, living God. The hope that is only a living God can give. You know, I was thinking about this hope that the only living God can give. Before that, we had calendars with what we worshipped. We have statues, little statues we worshipped. They're not living at all. They're just pictures made by men or statues made by men. We thought we had hope in them, but it's not true. Only what's living can give you a hope. And this is the Savior of man. Jesus Christ is the Savior of man. He's the one who gave us the hope. He's the one who forgave us our sins. He's the one who brought us near to God through His death, through the shedding of His blood. He's the one. Because of Him, we have this instructions to be like Him, godliness. We need to exercise ourselves to become like him. If we want to draw near to God and God to draw near to us, we can't meddle with sin. We have to be clear. Because if we have sin in our lives on one hand and we say we want to draw near to God, God will go only further away because of our sin. That's why we should have a godly discipline. And this is why I'm sharing with you, and it is for you, and it's also for me. First it's for me, and then it's for you. And this is why we work hard at it. This is what we need to do, because we have fixed our hope on the living God. Verse 11 says, tells us, prescribe and teach these things. He's young, he's been given a responsibility, and he says, prescribe. You know what prescribe means? Only the doctor prescribes things, medicine. In other words, patient goes to the doctor, says, I have a stomach pain, I have a back pain, I have a headache or sore throat. There are so many medicines that stop these days, they can't prescribe because they have to buy them. But they might prescribe them antibiotics, and the instructions are, take two today and the rest one a day. They're prescribing. What Paul is saying here is that you give the people in your assembly the instructions to follow God. He's saying that prescribe these things and teach these things. Don't we have a teaching here in this church? We have a pastor here sitting here. He gives us the teaching. We follow. We've been learning these things that we face every day in our lives, the things like today, the climate change. Last week it was the abortion. All these things we are taught because we are Christians. We want to follow Christ and we want to be like Christ. Prescribe and teach these things. Because Timothy was young, and Paul gives him instructions, the second thing I want to look at is the personal assessment. What he's saying is that because you're young, they will look down on you. They will come and cause trouble and think, older people will come and say things like this, you're young, what do you know? They will say, you're hardly born yet. That's what we say, don't we? If somebody hears something from a young person, an older person hears from a young person, and says, what do you know about life? I've been here before you. I was born. I wasn't born yesterday. I know more than you. But Paul says, let them not put you down because you have been chosen by God to serve people. He said, don't worry about that, but do your duty. Show yourself. Show yourself. He says, rather, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, what you say, conduct, what you do, love, faith, and purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe. What he's saying is that by your speech, what you do, your faith and your love, show through your love and your purity, how pure you are. Show yourself an example. And that's what I should be, or that's what you should be before the other Christians, so that we will not become hindrance in their faith. This is what our personal assessment should be. We look at ourselves and see, are we following these instructions for ourselves, for myself, what I say, what I do, my love, do I show my love to others, or others, do the others see my faith, or am I pure in my thoughts and my saying and my hearing? Am I being an example? Those who believe, to the younger people, to the new believers, are we being examples? And in verse 13, he's just saying the same thing. He says, public, pay attention until I come to the public reading of scriptures and exhortation and teaching. Another instructions. Exhortations means is push this teaching, push these instructions onto believers. It says, teach them to follow Christ. Teach these things what I'm writing to you. Disciplining ourselves into godliness, being our examples before others. He says, teach them. Do these things when I come, before I come. Pay attention to these things. And he also says in verse 14, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you. All of us here have gifts given by God. Some been given gift to preach, some been given to translate, some been given singing. So many gifts in many ways. Over there at the desk, they got this ability to do those things. There are gifts within us that we need to exercise and express to others and use it for God's glory. There are gifts. And he says in verse 15, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. What Paul is instructing Timothy here is, he says, you're going to go through pains, but take these pains and be absorbed in them. Not just the pain, but all the instruction that I'm giving to you. Being absorbed means if you take a sponge, put it in the water, slowly, slowly, the whole sponge will soak up the water and go down. First it will float in the water, then it'll absorb. He's saying, take these instructions. What we need to do is when we read our Bibles, when we study the Bibles, when we spend time before God, we need to absorb what they're saying, absorb it. In other words, be filled with the Word of God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be absorbed in these things. And that's what we need to do, so that others may see our lives. Not that we're showing off, not that we're pretending to be a spiritual, but the reality, the real you, that should be an evidence to others, to all, everyone. Pay close attention to your reading, yourself as well. What are you saying this in verse 16? Pay close attention to yourself. He says, keep on the lookout. Keep yourself, look after yourself. And also, watch what you're teaching. Keep the teaching preserved, and also keep it, your teaching. Be careful what you teach. In other words, what you have learned, teach. Yes, teach. But be careful yourself. We too need to be, before we can teach, we need to learn ourselves first. And this is what he's saying, that be careful. What he's saying is, be careful about your teaching, about yourself. And this will preserve these things. As for you, as you do these, this will be and ensure salvation for both you and for those who hear you. What it means that when you discipline yourself in godliness, keep the word of God in your heart, keep your conduct, your speech, your self-assessment. It says pay attention to these, your teachings. And it says these will ensure your salvation and the salvation of others who listen to you, who hear you. And that is what we do here. Preserve one another, look after one another through the word of God, through the fellowship we have with one another. And without this, we cannot progress. We cannot progress without the word of God. We cannot progress without the fellowship that we have. It's just like being on your own and you dry out. And this is what happens with the backsliders. Because they backslide, they don't have fellowship, they don't read the Bible. What happens? They dry out. Then the Lord comes in so many ways, different ways, to chastise him, to discipline him, so that he can bring him back, so he can be refreshed, and so he can grow. And that is what we need to do. And this was just my message for this evening. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother, sisters.